This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. During the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Agriculture's hearing on Tuesday, Undersecretary for Agriculture Kevin Concannon indicated USDA would allow a 30-day comment period extension for the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee's report. A large point of contention on the report is factoring in the environmental impacts of raising beef. House Ag Chair Committee Mike Conaway says the report not only went way out of scope in dealing with non-nutritional science issues, but also potentially excluded influential scientific studies when crafting recommendations. While Conaway appreciates some recognition of the complexity of the issues presented by extending the comment period, he calls on the Ag Secretary, Tom Vilsack, and Health and Human Services Secretary, Sylvia Burwell, to commit to a process where those comments will be fully reviewed and considered. After 18 months of collaboration, the Pork Checkoff has announced a new common industry audit platform. Pork producers, packers, and processors can be certified by the Professional Animal Auditor Certification Organization. Pork Checkoff Animal Welfare Director Sherry Webb says this program builds off the successful Pork Quality Assurance Plus program.
We'll continue to have the education and the site assessment component as part of PQA Plus, and that provides a base for comprehensive assurance, and the third-party audit, which is done with the Common Swine Industry Audit, is really a check on the rest of the system. And so all of those components together are really what help provide assurances to our customers and our consumers that we are doing a good job of taking care of our animals and protecting food safety on our farms.
The Common Industry Audit will provide clarity to pig farmers about audit standards and expectations and provide a science-based platform for continuous improvement in animal care. More information can be found online.
All of the audit materials can currently be found on our website, pork.org/commonaudit. We also have a couple of additional resources there as well, including some frequently asked questions that might help fill in some of the gaps, as well as a resource page that provides fact sheets and templates for standard operating procedures or records that producers can use to help on their farms.
Again, that was Pork Checkoff Animal Welfare Director Sherry Webb. In addition to the availability of land, American Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee Chair John Hedgman says the organization's latest Outlook survey of young farmers and ranchers shows they are concerned about government regulations, among other things, including...
Will their parents be willing to turn over the farms and ranches to them, as well as the overall profitability of their farms?
As far as communicating with consumers, Hedgman says many young farmers and ranchers surveyed utilize social media to interact with consumers.
About 75% of young farmers consider communication with consumers about the food and farm products they produce a former part of their job today.
Although 84% of those surveyed say they are more optimistic about their jobs than they were 5 years ago, Hedgman says obtaining financing is still a concern.
It's hard. As a lot of us know, starting in farming or agriculture or expanding an operation, it's a number one aspect of trying to get started obtaining financing. So especially in my situation as a young farmer, I mean, financing's been a battle since day one.
AFBF Young Farmers and Ranchers Chair John Hedgman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. USDA has just wrapped up its survey of more than 80,000 U.S. farmers. Todd Gleason reports on how the agency uses the information to develop its March 31st acreage forecast.
Well, in the spring, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Division contacts farmers in hopes of learning how much of each crop they expect to plant. The agency contacts farmers across the United States. Corn and soybean farmers are of particular interest. This year, more than 4,000 Kansas farmers were tapped, along with around 3,700 in Nebraska and about 3,000 in each of the Dakotas, Iowa, and Illinois. Another 2,000 farmers each were contacted in Indiana and Ohio.
Our goal is to make sure that we're measuring small, medium, and large farms, so we use what's called a stratified sample.
That's NASS Illinois State Statistician Mark Schleusner.
That's a fancy way of saying for the biggest farms, we're going to talk to all of them. For the large but not biggest, we'll draw a sample, maybe one out of three of those. And for medium size, maybe one out of 10. And for the smaller farms, there are lots of small farms in Illinois, and they do contribute to the total. We might only measure one out of 25 of those.
Each farmer surveyed is asked how many acres they operate, how much of that land they intend to plant to corn or soybeans, and how much might already be in wheat. They're also asked about oats and sorghum and hay. The response rate goal, and usually achievement, is an amazing 80%.
Yes, our goal is an 80% response rate on all surveys, and we use several methods of data collection. Every producer in a sample will get a letter saying, here's the reason why we're doing this. We're going to measure planting intentions, and we will put a questionnaire in there. That letter will also have instructions for reporting over the internet on our secure website. That's, in our mind, the best way for a producer to report, but if they want to fill out the paper questionnaire and put it in the postage paid business reply envelope, that works too. Either of those are both inexpensive ways of gathering data, and that saves the government money, and by that I mean we're saving your money and my money. For the people who do not respond via the mail, we'll start calling, and we'll also send out people to interview face-to-face. Both of those methods are more effective in general, but they also are more expensive.
The biggest problem NAS faces when taking the acreage survey is that farmers usually have not yet made all their planting decisions. The agency knows this, and it's satisfied with best estimates. The individual reports, they're confidential by law, and the data collected, it's exempt from legal processes. The data can be aggregated at the county, state, and national level. Computers flag any large acreage changes at the individual level so that an analyst can check for a data entry error or make a follow-up call. The state statisticians review the total number of crop acres for any major changes. Total crop acres generally remain constant, and then submit the estimates in an encrypted file to USDA NAS in Washington, D.C. There, more analysis is done, and the final report is produced for release March 31. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.